They always try to fit a bunch in one bag to save you 8 cents. And I'm like, just give me 2 bags.
Right.
Because I want to use the bag as a bag.
Yes. Not as something I have to clumsily carry to my car, hoping that it doesn't break. Well,
one store, the QFC always had handles in their bags. And then like they were out of bags, so they had the ones without handles. And I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this?
And then they stack it all the way to the top. So you
like, how is this helping? I feel like that's only in TV when you have one bag of groceries and it's like that. You put your arm around it. There's always a baguette sticking out of it.
I knew that's where that was going.
Welcome to Namely 90s. Wow. The podcast that takes you back to the time before smartphones, Google, and Y2K. Join your hosts as they relive the pop culture that shaped a generation and the parts that many people wish they could forget. Listen in to the conversation about how the decade defined those who spent their childhood there and how it shaped them as adults. So, turn down the grunge and dial up the internet. Let's get started. It's time for Namely 90s.
That's right. You're listening to Namely 90s. My name's Andrew, and over there's Brandon.
That's me.
You can find us online at namely90s.com or on Instagram at namely90s. You can also find this show on YouTube every Monday at youtube.com/@namely90s. And if you'd like to support the show, head over to patreon.com/@namely90s and get signed up for one of our support levels. And then you can help fund my funeral when I die from this horrible illness.
I don't think there's an at in our Patreon URL.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. /namely90s.
But as you can
hear, I'm not at my best.
Although the joke's still flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's going down swinging.
I'm getting my second wind finally.
Second wind of the day?
I don't know. Like, I felt like garbage this morning, but either the medication is kicking in with the Sudafed or I did have coffee at my local Jesus Chicken store.
Oh, found a way to work it in.
Yeah, of course.
Then I guess I'll just have to do the obligatory fuck Chick-fil-A.
Not a sponsor.
Unless you want to sponsor us, and then we'll definitely just fold over on our values.
Yeah. Oh gosh, can I be any more miserable?
Well, Matthew Perry died. No,
that was a really bad segue, but it was a segue.
A segue we didn't need for 10 minutes.
Oh, I thought this was. I'm sorry, I misread. I thought that was the pre-discussion.
No, I didn't really. I mean, we did a lot for Podcast of Horror 4.
Spoiler alert. One of our topics today is the death of Matthew Perry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not at my prime right now.
I mean, I'm sure Andrew will do like an actual Friends or Matthew Perry episode deep dive in the future.
Probably.
But at the moment, we figured might as well celebrate his life, and also Suzanne Summers, toss that in there.
Yeah, which we can come back to. I just didn't realize I misread it. I thought that was like the pre-discussion.
Yeah. This is
good podcasting. So what's your week been like?
I mean, how's your Halloween? Mine was busy.
It was good. We had several people said we had the best decorations on the block, which is always our goal.
Nice.
We do full-size candy bars.
Absolutely.
Which is cool. Yeah, it was fun. The kids had fun. They were in bed by 7:30. It's a great thing about.
That's impressive. Well,
our neighborhood kind of concludes early,
right?
And they're younger, so like everyone else came to school the next day super tired and worn out, and our kids were like
well rested
and yeah,
that's so fantastic.
No, it was good. My parents came, and you know what? I was surprised by. We decided we wanted to do pizza just to keep it easy, you know, because my parents were coming and I didn't feel like cooking. And I was like, I order pizza, and Kayla's like, I'm sure they'll be busy. You should just go to Papa Murphy's or something.
Yeah.
And so I go online and put in my Papa Murphy's order. For those of you that don't know, Papa Murphy's, is that national? I don't know. It's a chain.
It's national, yeah.
Of pizza places where you bake the pizza at home.
We don't have one here.
By the way, their new slogan is like, we make great pizza so you can make the pizza great or something.
Hmm.
But it's that like,
doesn't seem right.
I don't do anything. I just turn the oven on.
Yes.
And anyway,
hopefully unwrap the thing and take the paper off of the.
So I get to the pizza. Papa Murphy's and I've never seen so many people inside of a Papa Murphy's in my entire life. I mean, it was standing room only.
Mm.
And I literally stood there for 20 minutes and I had to leave because I had to go get my kid from daycare. And then I sent my parents and the line was down the street by the time they got there.
Wow.
And a bunch of like a-hole old people were like being mean to the clearly like 16-year-old greeter girl that was dressed up as Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And they were like flipping her shit because they couldn't get their pizza fast enough. And I'm like, hate you all.
Why don't you click those ruby slippers and get my pizza faster, Dorothy?
We're not in Kansas anymore. Anyway, Papa Murphy's. Yeah, Halloween was good. How about you?
It was good. I was spread out like Thursday.
That's how you know you had a good Thanksgiving if you're spread. Oh, never mind. Thanksgiving, Eagles. Halloween. Same difference.
There are slight differences. One's a candy holiday. Thursday I had a musical improv show that I was a part of. I may have talked about this last time, I don't remember.
I think, but so
we dressed up as like people from musicals, I guess. I dressed up as Captain Hammer from Dr. Horrible Sing-Along Blog, and only the people my age got the reference. And then let's see what else. Went to a brewery for their Halloween bash Friday, where I wore one of three variations of the Scott Pilgrim outfit I was wearing. And my girlfriend was Ramona Flowers.
I would recognize none of your costumes.
It's just, I mean, it's the same costume. Oh, I mean,
and we are contemporaries.
Yes. But I'm more nerd. You're more geek, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose it's true.
Dr. Horrible was Neil Patrick Harris. It was a Joss Whedon thing.
I remember that. I just wouldn't recognize it if I saw it, I guess, like as a costume.
Well, yes, I realized as I was posting photos from the weekend, my references were from 2008 and a movie adaptation that came out in 2012, 11 or 12. So I was like, I'm old. But yeah, we went to one of her friend's houses for a house party on Sunday, and then Halloween night we went to one of our friends' their neighborhood to pass out Halloween candy. They ran out of candy at 6:30, so we went to the store and got more candy. Like this, it was up in A-Town, and like it was this residential neighborhood that people were just like driving to this neighborhood to trick or treat in, because it was like an actual like safe place to trick or treat with your kids. Like everyone had like their garage open and had like a table with candy on it at every single house. Yeah. And it was pretty cool, but I'm pretty sure we gave away over 100 pieces of candy and on Halloween night.
We went to there. The kids went to this trunk or treat at the high school, and like it had just started, and they were like, oh yeah, we're out of candy. And it's like, oof. That's high schoolers.
Yeah, but that's fair.
I do think it's funny that like we're very explicit with children, like do not approach someone in a car offering to give you free candy.
Yep.
Except when you go to a place where everyone has their car, they have their trunk open just so they can push you into it as you take the candy.
Well, it's not the trunk, it's the sliding white panel van, right? That's the one. Your new,
we have a puppy in here.
Your new mini mixer doesn't have a cough button.
No, it doesn't. I wish it did.
Sorry. That's too bad.
I tried to cough. it's a pretty directional microphone.
No worries. I was just, surprised, shocked even.
It's a really small mixer. That's okay. What she said.
And yeah, no, it was fun. Yeah, that was Halloween. First time doing a couple's costume. It's been a while. Your wife had a great costume.
Yeah, she dressed up as Taylor Swift.
I didn't see any photos of you with her.
No, I was at home just dealing with trick-or-treaters and pizza. I don't... One day I will get back into dressing up. The problem is...
You have the idea.
I'm not good at planning ahead.
Yeah.
At anything. So it's just like... Fair. I know it's coming. Like, I think about, oh, it's Halloween, like 2 weeks in advance. And then it's Halloween. And I'm like, well, crap.
I mean, this year I had, because I usually last minute and I like put off like ordering stuff for a costume, because I like to, usually when I do Halloween costumes, I like to have something that's like substantial that I could either wear again in the future, or like, I don't know, wear to a con, even though I've only been to one convention in my life. But I was like, building out like a Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker costume all year, like since I went to Disneyland for my birthday, so sometime in May. I was like, that's gonna be my costume. I'm gonna get this all together. I'm gonna get the robes. I'm gonna wear the thing. And I got it all together. I was done like a week and a half early. And then suddenly I was out at like trivia night or something, and one of my friends offhandedly was like, oh, are you and your girlfriend going to do a couple's costume? I was like,
you're like,
and then I brought it up to my girlfriend and I was like, funny thing, person X said, are we doing a couple's costume? Ha 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 ha.
Oh boy.
And then, she's like, I haven't really put much thought into the costume this year. Should we? And I was like, it's a week and a half until Halloween. No, we shouldn't. Yes, we should. but
that's, wow.
Well, I gave her like two quick options that I had. And I, one that I kind of was interested in doing, and the other one was the lazy Scott Pilgrim one, because my costume is, I wear a shirt and some sweatbands. That's all I have to do.
Easy
for me. She had to like dye her hair different colors and wear a steampunk goggles or whatever. I was just like, or we could do Loki and Sylvie from the series Loki, which is actually airing right now, so it might be in more people's collective consciousness. Yeah. She went for, because she's reading Scott Pilgrim right now. Because
I just came from the gym. Sweatbands.
Yeah. Well, one person, because one of the color schemes was yellow and red. So one person's like, Are you Dodgeball? Yes. Well, you know, the movie. I was like, no.
I will say, one of my kids dressed up as Evie. It was like the cutest costume. Nice.
I'll have to grab pictures later.
Kayla made her own, I guess, rhinestone boots. I don't know what the right term is.
Yes.
But she took like regular sort of knee-high boots.
Right.
And spent over a month gluing like, I don't know, 30,000 some rhinestones on them to match Taylor Swift's outfit in like one of the videos.
No, I think her story said she started in like July or August, but then like the last month is when she really
Surgery. Did we talk about Taylor Swift last time? I feel like we did.
You mentioned your Travis Kelce outfit idea, and maybe not last time, but two times ago. But yeah,
no, I'm kind of enjoying this whole like the thing that she's doing and the whole like F the patriarchy essentially that's going on there. And
oh,
and
you mean also, actually talk about Taylor Swift?
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty cool. I know people are like harshing on her quite a bit, and it's like, okay, cool.
I didn't realize she was effing the patriarchy.
In a way. I mean, not really. It's more like the record industry, but I love how it's pissing people off because they're just like, I don't know. I anytime we can piss off people on Facebook, I'm enjoying that.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean the people that you follow on Facebook.
I know. Did you see the one I sent you this morning?
Yes.
About boomers and Generation X.
Oh yeah, the X and Y divide.
I really need to get off that platform.
Yeah, I mean Gen X, you probably listen to this. Our friends Gas and Danger Gen X, ish.
And I just would like to say to Gen X, we also came in when the streetlights came on.
Yes,
it's not unique to you.
Yes,
that's the one thing they love to talk about. Anyway,
because they think they're the last latchkey kids and they're not. We are.
They're not. We only were because they believed in neglectful parenting.
Right.
Say what? Anyway, and now they created this. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Gen X and Gen Y are much closer together than any other. Like millennials and Zoomers do not get along.
True.
And obviously we're the ones that, like, I think we were the ones that okay boomered, or maybe it was the Zoomers and we just took it over.
I just have a strong desire to eat a Tide Pod.
All right, Gen Z. Oh,
that's now 15 minutes of banter. So yep. I guess we're good.
Yeah, back to Matthew Perry. I'm not going to do a Ferb Don voice for this one. We're just going to get into it.
Yeah.
It's a variety show, but it's a little morose. Morose?
Is yeah.
that the right word?
We're going to talk about a variety of deaths.
Yes, okay. Or at least two. And three if Brittany keeps dancing with those knives unsupervised.
Yeah. Ooh, boy.
Shots fired. Love you, B. From one BS to another. Because that's my initials. Matthew Perry died on the 27th of October. And then Mia Sorvino shared, like, these words that he... Mia Sorvino from Romy and Michelle's whatever. They co-starred in a movie in 1994 called Parallel Lives. And this interview that he was doing, and he was like, when I die, I know people will talk about friends, which obviously we will. And I'm glad of that, happy, but I've done some solid work as an actor, as well as given people multiple chances to make fun of my struggles on the World Wide Web. When I die, as far as my so-called accomplishments go, it would be nice if friends were listed far behind the things that I did try to help other people. I know it won't happen, but it would be nice. He created Perry House in Malibu, which is a sober living facility for men. He also wrote a play called The End of Longing, which was an exaggerated form of him as a drunk. And this was all from a 2022 interview with a podcast called Q's Tom Power, or the podcast.
So that's a QAnon Power podcast. Okay.
Most likely. And then he closed out this quote by saying, "Wonderful things happened in my life. I'm incredibly grateful for all of them. But that's the ticket for me, is helping people on a larger scale, or helping, you know, one guy and seeing the light turn on." So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's obviously sad. Did you watch the Diane Sawyer interview with him?
No.
I forget what. It's not like HBO Max. I don't know, but that was pretty interesting. He kind of talked about a lot of this stuff. It just goes to show you that, addiction is a severe disease, and there's really you're never cured of it, you know? Mm-hmm. I guess it's cool that it sucks that he succumbed to it, but that he was able to help so many other people.
True. Very true.
He's a character I really appreciate. I mean, I know him best from Friends. Obviously he did some other stuff, but Friends is one of our go-to shows. We watch it repeatedly. And in some ways I like to think I have kind of a similar sense of humor, but he just brought something to that character that I don't know. You can't imagine anyone else playing that character. You know, I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Indeed. Obviously introduced to him through Friends. I watched Friends as a kid. I do remember I liked him in The Whole Nine Yards, with Bruce Willis, and who else was in that? Amanda Peet. I don't remember and then they had a sequel, The Whole 10 Yards, which was not great. And right. He was in that Zac Efron movie, 17 Again, and that was his last theatrical appearance.
He was also in a show that I can't remember the name of. But he's Cougar like
Town.
No, but he's like a radio person or something.
Oh, was it radio or was it Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
That might have been it. But like one of the funny things, like, holds up a sign to the window that says "I need a hug," but then he holds up another sign that says, that makes it say, "I need a huge stick to beat you with." That's pretty good. Unfortunately, a lot of his shows and stuff after Friends really did not.
That one might have been Go On.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
Those really did not land very well, but
no.
I think when you have such a successful role, it's kind of hard to match the success of that, right. You know, in future things, except Joey, which did great.
It technically went on for two seasons.
Wow.
Because of the people in the UK really liked it. So they made a second season. I think we saw 3 episodes stateside and then they showed the rest over there. Although if you want a real good sequel series to Friends, watch Episodes. You could just pretend like,
oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You could just pretend like Matt LeBlanc is a Joey.
I never got through all of it. I really need to go back and watch it. It's a good series.
Yeah. And I mean, I liked Cougar Town, which was not a Matthew Perry thing, but Monica, Courtney Cox.
I can't tell what's going on with Courtney Cox. Like, does she look that way because she had work done or because she hasn't had any work done? I can't. You know what I mean?
Because she had work done and then she had work removed.
Okay. But you know what I mean?
That was a recent thing. Yes.
Okay.
Like,
not that there's anything wrong with getting work done. It becomes confusing because now I can't tell if you just, that's how you aged or if you made yourself look weird. Anyway.
This is going to be shots fired, Tara Reid. so sorry. Love you, Tara Reid.
Sorry, you're dying.
Love you, Tara Reid. But some of your Instagram photos, you look almost elven.
Watching celebrities get old is making me really consider my own mortality because it's like, boy, that happened fast, you know?
Well, you've seen that meme that goes around where it's like, it's from Father of the Bride and it's Steve Martin and who's the actress in that? She's in The Godfather. Anyways, it's a picture of them on the couch laughing. And Steve Martin, you know, he has his white hair and Diane Keaton has like lighter gray hair or not gray, lighter brown hair. But it's just like, this is in 1991. This is what 45-year-olds looked like.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm 10 years away from that. 11 years. Oh God.
I will say, I'm really glad they got the Friends reunion to happen before he, you know, obviously before he died. I mean, that was nice. They were able to get that done.
And now I will be appreciative of the fact that this is probably a nail in the coffin for like a reboot series.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say is like, I kind of want to stab people on the internet. They're like, oh, his last posts were a cry for help. And so-and-so Lisa Kudrow is going to adopt his dog. And it's like, no, his dog lives with his ex like and has. I hate how the internet blows up with stuff. It just gets kind of annoying.
Yeah. There was like 3 wildfires on Monday here. And
they were started by 5G.
Yes. the rumor mill was out of control before it even got to like 2 teens arrested for leaving the scene of one of the suspected arson areas because they were smoking dope behind the high school.
One does.
Any final thoughts about Matthew Perry before?
No, I think that about covers it.
Yeah. And I think at some point in the future, we'll probably do a deeper dive.
Yeah, definitely.
That will honor him better, but rip to the max, Matthew Perry.
Yes. Rip to the max.
And speaking of ripping to the max, let's do a quick thing for Suzanne Summers as well. Best known from Three's Company and the 90s TV sitcom Step by Step.
I know her from Step by Step. And then wasn't she also in like aerobics infomercials?
Yes. Like all the time. But I wanted to do a quick game with you because as I was thinking back to Step by Step, I was thinking about all these sitcoms. Well, first, Suzanne Summers died on the 14th of October. And hopefully with these two out of the way, we won't bog down the next 90s news.
If people could stop dying for 5 minutes, that would be great. Thank you.
But yeah, she also, I think she was only, how old was she? She was 76. Just still young. But yeah.
Yeah, but people became 80 fast. Like, this is frightening.
Right.
She could run for president.
it's concerning to me that Medical Views is something on her Wikipedia page right now. But yeah, she had breast cancer, and apparently her breast cancer went through her lymphatic system.
That's too bad.
Yes, and it somehow ended up in her brain, I think I saw. Either way, she has some views on fluoride in the drinking water. Anyway, I made up a quick game because I was like, okay. Step by Step is really, really close to just being the Brady Bunch.
Kind of, yeah.
Right?
I didn't dislike that show. I remember we used to watch it.
I think it was on at like 9 o'clock, and I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock and on TGIF. And I was just
the classic intro sequence probably.
But. Yeah. Step by step, day by day with the wooden roller coaster. That's actually in Visalia, California.
Patrick Duffy. And then some other people who probably are nobody.
I mean, it's, who is it? Something Lark. Patrick Duffy, Suzanne Summers, Stacey Keenan, Christine Lark Leakin. Christine Leakin
is the one they probably
recognize the most out of the kids. Anyway, and then some of them left acting. Anyway, I'm going to read you. We're going to do a quick game. It's called Is This the Brady Bunch or Step by Step? And I'm going to read you a description, sometimes two, and you're going to have to tell me if it's the Brady Bunch or if it's Step by Step. Okay. So let's start with, and these are both taken off of the descriptors for the show off the Wikipedia page. So one, a widowed architect with three sons marries Carol, who herself has three daughters. Also included in the blended family are Mike's live-in housekeeper and the boy's dog, Tiger. I'm supposed to say the dad's live-in housekeeper. A divorced contractor has three children, and Carol, a widowed salon owner, also has three children. They get married. Which one is the Brady Bunch and which one is
the first one is the Brady Bunch.
Ding. Okay. Is it because I left Mike's name in there?
No, actually, I just know that the what's his name?
Patrick Duffy.
No, the main Brady. Guy. Wayne Brady?
Wayne Brady. From the Brady Bunch or from
the Brady Bunch? What's the guy's name?
Mike Brady. Dad. The dad is Mike.
Yeah, I just know he was an architect.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Did you not hear the part about contractor? Is that not essentially the same thing?
It's not at all the same thing.
Okay.
Fine. Write those angry letters to 1600 or
send it through our website, namely90s.com.
Yeah.
They live in Port Washington, Wisconsin, the setting is a large two-story house designed by the dad located in a Los Angeles suburb. That's why I said, isn't it the same thing?
Well, the house designed by the dad was the Brady Bunch because he was an architect, not a contractor.
In Los Angeles?
The actual house is in Los Angeles or near Los Angeles.
You're right. The Brady Bunch was in Los Angeles, apparently.
Port Washington, Wisconsin feels like more of a working class town, you know?
Yes, not where the rich architect lives. Let's see. True. They marry while vacationing in Jamaica after a whirlwind courtship, and the dad plans an identical vacation to accidentally run into Carol with his family. They plan to keep their marriage a secret, but the dad accidentally reveals to his son that they are married during a barbecue he and Carol hold to introduce all the children to each other, leaving them surprised and angry at first. Was that the Brady Bunch or Step by Step?
Well, you use the character's name in it.
Carol?
Yeah.
They're both named Carol.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the other reason why I was like, what?
I want to go with... I want to say it's Brady Bunch.
That is Step by Step.
Oh, man. I feel like getting married while vacationing in Jamaica is kind of like a 70s thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Or a 60s, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel very contemporary.
To be fair, the Bradys vacationed in Hawaii, where Bobby picked up a tiki.
Back when Hawaii was like all the rage, because that was like the first place you could go that was nice.
It was West Coast
in the US Cuba. On a plane. Yeah, exactly. I feel like Hawaii tourism is kind of like stunted and geared toward old people
in a lot of white areas. People.
Old white people.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, not wrong. And then final question. In the first season, awkward adjustments, accommodations, gender rivalries, and resentments were inherent in both blended or in the blended families, which dominated the storylines. Or each episode depicts typical situations for a new blended family. Family members' differences may cause arguments and resentments, but over time they grow to tolerate and become loyal to one another. Which one was whichever one you want to guess?
I want to say the first one was the Brady Bunch.
Any justification for that?
It said that stories relating to blended families dominate the storylines. I feel like the blended family was a fairly new concept when the Brady Bunch was on the air. So that's my guess.
Did you not hear the next one with?
The fact that it said dominate, I guess. Okay.
You're correct. I was trying to talk you out of it. So you got 4 out of 5 right.
Hey, that's better than I usually do on anything.
Yeah. And that was our quick game. Is this the Brady Bunch or Step by Step?
And now let's go to Brandon for the Namely 90s Minute.
Welcome back to Namely 90s Minute. Every week we look back at a culturally relevant show, movie, or piece of pop culture that probably helps stoke the algorithm. This week, in honor of the Marvels hitting theaters, we're looking back at the only appearance of Ms. Marvel in the 90s cartoons in the X-Men episode, A Rogue's Tale. A Rogue's Tale is season 2, episode 9 of the X-Men cartoon, starring a bunch of Canadian voice actors that probably voiced things you enjoyed in the mid-90s to early 2000s if you watched this show. The story starts with Blue Rebecca Romijn meeting with Mr. Sinister, who tells her Patrick Stewart has left the X-Men, and she can finally get her daughter back, who was revealed to be Anna Paquin in an earlier episode. After the dope intro song, two flamboyantly dressed mutants and a fat one are attacking what appears to be a Wonder Wharf to draw out the X-Men. Anna Paquin gets hit and then later has horrible visions that apparently James McAvoy had been erasing from her memory while he was around. The vision she has is of Brie Larson, and she attacks some members of the team like an incel during the promotion for the first Captain Marvel movie. Anna Paquin then gets pulled into the recesses of her mind, and Brie Larson tries to take over her body before they flee the X-Mansion. She is then almost recovered by Halle Berry at the Statue of Liberty, but is then led to Brie Larson's hospital coma ward. Rebecca Romijn knocks out Halle Berry and then lures the rest of the X-Men into a trap, and then leads Anna Paquin to Brie Larson's comatose body, then lets her absorb her powers to regain her lost memories. Then Rebecca lets Anna absorb her powers to regain her lost memories. She had run away from home, where she met Blue Jennifer Lawrence, who raised her like a mother, and Brie Larson stopped them from doing bad things and stealing a jet. Anna Paquin absorbed Brie's powers, and they permanently changed her and trapped Brie's mind inside her. That's when she ran away from Jennifer Lawrence's crew and met James McAvoy, who erased her memory. Back in the present, Brie Larson takes over the body while having Rebecca Romijn's transformation powers, and then Sophie Turner goes into her mind, and Brie and Anna have a fight for control of the body, but in the end, Brie Larson gets trapped again. Also, Anna Paquin tells Rebecca Romijn that she's not her daughter and that she had only used her. The episode ends with Anna Paquin visiting comatose Brie Larson and a small hint that her mind transferred back and she was about to wake up from her coma. And that's X-Men, A Rogue's Tale, in a Namely 90s Minute. More or less.
And now, back to the show.
Alright, we're going to round this out by doing one or possibly more BuzzFeed quizzes, and out of the two that I let Andrew pick from, he picked... This quiz will reveal which member of Friends you are most like, and who you are least like. This was from 2021, so I do not think we've done this before. Just so you know, stats-wise, we have 995 LOLs, 761 wins, 636 cutes, 581 fails, 427 WTFs, and 207 OMGs. So... bear with us if this quiz sucks. I believe I'm going to do most of the reading for this because Andrew is a titbit.
Under the weather.
Yes.
Titbit nipply.
I was going to say ticklish is where my brain was going because of the alliteration, but Also, it's not tit. It's tid.
Moving on.
Let's start by picking a color. We have a taupe, a maroon, a cyan, a pastel orange, black, and a magenta.
I would call the first color lavender.
Fair. I don't actually know what taupe looks like.
Yeah, idiot. No, just kidding. I like the orange. Yes, I'm partial to that.
Taupe apparently is brown. I like the kind of burgundy red looking one. Now pick a day of the week. You have six to choose from.
Why Monday, is Sunday Tuesday, not Wednesday, an option?
Because Sunday, I'm in love. This is the song by The Cure.
I like Fridays.
Friday's a good day. Oops, I picked it. I'm picking Wednesday because that's when we do trivia and I like doing trivia. What's the best city in the world? London, England, New York, USA, Paris, France, Sana, Yemen, Minsk.
Okay, the problem is like Chandler doesn't like Yemen. So you aren't like Chandler if you choose Yemen.
Phoebe doesn't like Minsk. That's what took
her Hank boyfriend Azaria away.
Yes, Hank Azaria. Minsk, Belarus?
Belarus.
Wow.
Belarus.
Belarus. Or Las Vegas, USA.
That sounds like the name of a pharmaceutical, Belarus.
Yes.
Did you know that Matthew Perry helped Hank Azaria to get sober as well?
You know, that I did not know that. That's a cool fact.
Yeah. I take issue with this question because I know what each one like represents. But I don't like any of these places.
Yeah, that is a good point. All six of these correspond with a character.
I'll go New York though.
I'll pick Vegas. Well, I mean, which one?
What?
Who's New York?
Yeah, that one I don't know.
It's just the last one. It's the one that's not like.
I guess it's probably Ross.
No, Ross would be London.
Or is that Joey? London, baby.
No, Joey's Vegas.
Oh, you're right. Okay, I don't know.
Paris is Rachel.
Must be Monica.
Yeah. What's your zodiac sign? Capricorn, Taurus, Gemini, Virgo, Aquarius. Mine isn't here.
Well, 5 of the 12. Is it 12? How many signs are there?
12.
5 of the 12 signs are listed. What? Who? This gets a WTF for me. Mine isn't here.
Mine's Taurus. Choose a hobby: skiing, doing a puzzle, baking, singing, sailing, or reading comics.
Baking.
I also like baking, but to stay different from you, I will do reading comics because I do do that when I have the time. And pick a song to dance to at your wedding: "The Way You Look Tonight" by Tony Bennett, "My Guy" by Mary Wells, "Wicked Game" by Chris. By Chris Isaac. "Endless Love" by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross. "Space Oddity" by David Bowie, or "With or Without You" by U2.
I think "The Way You Look Tonight" was sort of in the vibe of our wedding soundtrack, so I'm going to go with that.
I mean, I like "The Way You Look Tonight," but I prefer Frank Sinatra's version.
I think that might have been the one we listened to.
Actually. I believe it is, yeah. I like the song "Wicked Game" by Chris Isaac, but it's also not a wedding song.
No.
At me if that was your first dance song. I also like "Space Oddity" by David Bowie, but again, not a wedding song.
True.
And I hate "You Too." "Endless Love" by Lionel Richie and Diana Ross, I guess.
Good choice.
The band. I hate the band U2. But I do actually like that song. Select a Halloween costume if you only listen to it once. A superhero, a bunny, a cheerleader, a hippie, a bad scientist, or a cat?
First of all, I don't think that's how you spell hippie. I think it's not with a Y at the end.
Correct.
I hate how transparent these are. I would choose a bunny because it's like one suit that you just put on and it requires a minimal effort.
Can you name the references then? Because I recognize, well, the cheerleader was Rachel.
The bunny, at one point Chandler dresses up like the Easter Bunny. Phoebe is a hippie. Obviously, Ross is a scientist. And at one point, Rachel dresses up as a cheerleader to impress Joshua, the client who she wants to become her boyfriend. I don't know about the cat or superhero, though.
Well, Phoebe dresses up as a cat. Or no, Monica dresses up as a cat.
Oh, maybe that's what it is then.
And then anyway, the superhero.
A bunny. It's probably Joey.
Well, they dress up as Phoebe dresses up as Superman in or Superwoman in the only Halloween episode that they have.
Oh. And then, well, in any case.
Yeah. So the hippie. Oh, right. I have to pick one. I always dress up as a superhero during the holidays.
During the holidays, just Christmas, you come at as
here I come to save the day. Yes. Choose a snack. Fajitas, trifle, pizza, cheesecake, duck confit is not a snack.
No.
Or hummus and dip.
Hummus is a dip. I mean, no one thinks about this crap. BuzzFeed is a trash heap.
This is actually from a BuzzFeed staff, Sam Cleal.
Oh, God.
I don't think he made it.
Yeah, duck confit is not a snack. Neither is fajitas, really.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a late night snack.
All that being said, I do love some hummus, so I'm going to choose hummus and dip.
Oh, I love me some cheesecake, but...
By the way, if the hummus thing is another reference to Yemen...
No, I gotta... I know there's another Friends reference to hummus. Choose an iconic Friends quote. Pivot! Nope, I can't.
Pivot!
I'm more than just a pretty blonde with an ass that won't quit. Iconic?
Eh, no.
I don't know what that's from.
Rachel, I think, but...
They don't know what we know that... Oh, they don't know that we know that they know. I like that one.
I think that's Monica. No. It wouldn't be Monica.
No, because that would be the second one. I think it's
Phoebe, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You can't just give up. Is that what a dinosaur would do? Okay, no uterus, no opinion. It's fair. I don't remember what episode that's from. I'm not so good with the advice. Can I interest you in a sarcastic comment?
I mean,
Max.
I probably quote the "they don't know that we know that they know" one more. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
But and it's hard not to be biased, but the "can I interest you in a sarcastic comment" one has to be my favorite.
That is pretty good. I will go with "they don't know that we know that they know."
They don't know that we know they know.
Select an ancillary character. Mike Hannigan, played by Paul Rudd. Estelle Leonard, who was Joey's agent. Charlie Wheeler, played by Aisha Tyler, who was Ross's girlfriend in season 8 or 9. Janice Hosenstein, who was Chandler's girlfriend in the early seasons. Gunther, the man behind the bar at Central Perk. Or Richard Burke, also known as Tom Selleck, playing Monica's boyfriend.
Also known as The Stash.
The Stash.
Boy, for me, it's between Mike Hannigan and Charlie Wheeler.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Paul Rudd is one of the best sort of recurring guest stars on Friends.
I agree, but also, and he's like a normal dude compared to the rest of them. But also, he's also kind of crazy.
The one where Phoebe meets his parents. Oh, my gosh. Every time I die.
Okay.
So I'm going Mike Hannigan.
And while I'd love to just scream Lana at Charlie Wheeler, I gotta pick Janice because as much as they play her off as irritating, I love it when she goes, "Oh, my God."
Also, funny enough, isn't her name Maggie Wheeler?
Is it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I do not know who plays that. Lastly, pick an episode of Friends. The one with Unagi.
Oh, yeah.
The one with all the kissing. The one with the apothecary table. The one after Joey and Rachel kiss. The last one, or the one with all the Thanksgivings.
It's the apothecary table one for me. I love that episode.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was just on. I don't remember all the kissing or all the Thanksgivings. I don't like the Joey Rachel storyline, even though that's a healthier relationship.
It's horrible.
I guess I'll have to pick the one with the Unagi.
That's also a good one.
Yeah. Get Ross getting his ass kicked.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that is pretty good. All right. You want to reveal first or shall I?
I can go first since I've been reading so much. I got you're most like Chandler and least like Rachel. Let's be honest, your quick wit and smarts are legendary, but accepting yourself is still your biggest challenge in life. Don't let your anxiety overpower you in social situations. Instead, ask yourself, should I be winning these people over or should they be winning me over? Wow, that's actually really good advice.
I got you're most like Phoebe and least like Ross. You're definitely a bit of a showboat and not so subtle with a not so subtle wild side. People love to be around you and your positive energy is infectious. But remember to still have goals and ambitions in life. You want to be here for a long time and a good time. And you can do both.
All right.
I'm losing it over here. We should probably call it.
All right. Check out this description below or the show notes to find that BuzzFeed quiz and tell us what you got either on Instagram, X, or namely90s.com. Oh, or the YouTube video. And that's it for this week's edition of Navy 90s. Remember, you can find new episodes out every Monday. Join us next week for a deep dive episode that I'm writing. So enjoy that. Find us on Instagram and YouTube at Navy 90s with 90s, and tell us what you want to talk about on future episodes. If you'd like to support the show, please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/Namely90s, also with 90s. Finally, you can also contact us through our website, namely90s.com. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Audible, Unagi, Deezer, TuneIn, iHeart, Good Pods, and wherever your podcast's from. I'm Brandon, that's Andrew, and we'll catch you next time.
Mrs. Chenandler Bong.